The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Ladies and gentlemen, like to start off this podcast with a moment of silence for the tragedy that took place at a top supermarket with the mass shooting. Just a moment of silence right now before we start the podcast for the families and victims involved in the situation. And welcome back to Buff Hub, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. And guys, I just hope that I can bring even a minute of peace to someone hurt, involved with this tragedy. I don't really know what else to say, but that I am absolutely heartbroken about it. I lived in Central Florida when the Pulse shooting happened, and it's just a sense of numbness you have to go through, and sometimes it just tends to come and go, even years after the situation occurred. And it's tough to even talk about football today when there is a lot of pain, there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of confusion, all because someone decided to do something so absolutely evil and selfish. And here in Buffalo Rumblings, on this podcast, you know, we absolutely just send all our prayers and our love to anyone involved. By some crazy way you're able to hear this, you know, I'm praying for you. I'm hoping that you can find some healing, some solace in this situation. We all stand with you in Buffalo. I know Josh Allen does. He spoke out on Twitter. Stephon Diggs, the entire organization, the community, we're obviously so tight-knit. I live all the way out in the desert in Las Vegas, and it still hits me. So I definitely feel, for everyone in this situation, it's tough. It's tough to talk about. I don't even know what to talk about today. Just thinking about this, man, it's tough, and but I'm gonna try my best. Hopefully this helps ease your mind a little bit as we get into a new phase of the off season in Buffalo Bills football. But a lot of interesting things obviously going on in this organization. A lot of shifting parts as far as the personnel group goes with the running back situation, and I spoke last week upon how we're going to expand upon, you know, several rooms that we have to talk about. We talked about the running backs last week, and we got into, you know, the probability and expectation of what is to come. But I think that there's another phase we got to talk about here, and it's the wide receiver room. And it's almost as though it is an anomaly, right, of how to classify what this group intends to do going into this season. The Bills are legitimately the Super Bowl favorites right now. And it's crazy that it's standing this way solely because of, obviously, I mean, they're coming off an amazing year. Obviously, a tough stretch here and there, but they finish the season off strong. They go and play lights out against Kansas City. Although Tyrann Mathieu was not playing, you have to admit that the execution was there offensively. Although the running game could have helped, and it did not, the Bills went toe-to-toe with Andy Reid and his super confusing, amazing offense that basically just baffled the entire world with what they were able to do up against Josh Allen, who was playing absolutely out of his mind. And you're just wondering, what are we looking at going into this year where there is no Emmanuel Sanders and there is no Cole Beasley? So how in the hell are the Bills Super Bowl favorites? Well, for one, they're coming into this next season with the number one defense. Didn't feel that way the entire year, but it goes to show you that a lot of defenses in the NFL were struggling regardless of what everyone's saying. Fans were in the stands. You know, definitely way more inclement weather than we have seen in latter years in Buffalo. A primetime situation where we saw that against, obviously, against New England. We saw that cold weather play a factor against the Bills and then for the Bills several times. So, and with the rain, you name it, right? So there's a lot of things to take into account with the perception. But the reason I'm funneling this wide to bring it closer is that the wide receiver room has a ton of pressure to perform this year. And if we're going to sit here and believe that someone's going to be able to just come in and fill the shoes of Cole Beasley, I'm going to sit here on my pulpit and say it is not going to be that easy as far as thinking it's going to take just 2-3 weeks. This could be a situation where we're probably looking at the offense, especially without Brian Daboll now, having Ken Dorsey. We have zero tape of Ken Dorsey calling a game. He assisted, but he didn't call it. So let's get that straight before we start crowning the Bills as fans, right? There's a lot of expectation, and there's a lot that they need to execute upon. That third down situation for the Buffalo Bills without Cole Beasley would not get done 90% of the time. He was either doubled and single coverage went to Stephon Diggs to get it done, or some way, somehow, he slipped out and was able to sneak away with a third down, first down there. And I'm expecting Jamison Crowder to have a very strong vertical effect on this game, in games in the season. But I can't sit here and believe that he is absolutely going to be able to fill those shoes. Who I turn to instead is Khalil Shakir out of Boise State. The more I kept watching how he performed for Boise State, what they demanded out of him, they literally looked at him as a guy to get the job done when they needed it most. One of their, how we call them, superstars. A guy who is carrying the team into victory whenever they're caught in a situation they need someone to make a play. And at the NFL level now, right, we're looking at the situation at large is this: Stephon Diggs, wide receiver 2, Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, wide receiver 1, Gabe Davis, wide receiver 2, Jamison Crowder, wide receiver 3. Then you got Isaiah McKenzie, and backing up all four of those receivers is going to be Khalil Shakir and Isaiah Hodgins. The issue that the Bills have here is that they're going to have absolutely no choice but to try to figure out how to get these young guys involved in the offense early in the season, or they are going to struggle mightily later in the season. The difficulty with the whole situation, though, is the Bills start the season in Los Angeles on Thursday Night Football without Emmanuel Sanders, without Cole Beasley, and the only guaranteed piece they have in that wide receiver core who gets the job done is Stephon Diggs. I love Gabe Davis. I think that he is a player that has the potential to fill in Stephon Diggs' shoes. The issue is that it's not his fault. I'm not sitting here and thinking he's incapable because it's his fault. I think that this offense throughout his development has not given him the green light to say, hey, this game, you're WR2. It always feels as though Gabe Davis is like the ace in the deck. Whenever all else fails, let's throw him in there and see what he can do. I don't like that. I never liked that. I felt that he should have been the one who should have got crowned as the wide receiver too. Bring in Emmanuel Sanders like the Ferrari, who's just like the luxury item, if you will. There's a lot of pressure on a, you know, aging wide receiver towards obviously the end of his career, not even in his prime, to perform at a very high level to beat, if not the crowned Super Bowl champions at the time with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, they were still stacked last year, you name it, right? And they were still in the Super Bowl favorite talk. And he performed well in Kansas City. I'm not going to sit here and say he wasn't. Issue that's going on now is that, I mean, guys, let's just sit here and be freaking real. The Bills they're not crowning anyone at wide receiver two yet. That is the issue I have today. Just come out and say it. Stop tiptoeing or sign the veteran. There's a lot of pressure on this group to perform. Now, I don't like that they're just not going with the pieces, and it just feels as though they're relying on competition for that to come about. At the end of the day, competition is just as detrimental as opportunity. Just give a guy a shot, see what he does. You saw what Isaiah McKenzie did, for crying out loud, when his number was called for Cole Beasley in one game at New England. He played out of his freaking mind. Maybe the Bills need to start trusting their guys to get the job done versus playing a vanilla style type of play calling and relying solely on Stephon Diggs to try to, you know, break one open. Like, we can't do that anymore. John Brown's gone. Emmanuel Sanders is gone. Cole Beasley is now gone. There is no one else we could trade for 3 first-round picks for DK Metcalf, or I don't know who the hell anyone else is looking for, but it's not going to happen in this climate. The wide receiver bubble is in full effect. And the Bills need to figure out who they are again now, which this is something that was looming whenever they signed Emmanuel Sanders. Hell, I went into last season thinking, oh man, this is his chance. And if something goes wrong, we can just sign a veteran. But no. It's just, I'm frustrated, I'm excited, right? But I if I'm going to be real, I think Gabe Davis fills the wide receiver two mold just fine. And I think Khalil Shakir is the guy that's going to definitely be able to fill Cole Beasley's shoes the best. He has the attributes you look for to perform well on third down. The question is going to be, how is he going to execute in a real life NFL game situation? The NFL, they get hit harder, they play faster, they're 10 times smarter than who Boise State was facing. They read your hip movement. They read your head movement. They read your freaking ankles. Like, we'll see. As far as his in-game capability and what I saw from what he was doing in Boise State after taking some time, I think he could be a hell of a player. I think he's the closest player the Bills have ever gotten to what Robert Woods was to this team before he left. I stand on that. It just feels as though we're stuck in limbo in this room right now. And I am hoping that the debate is over. We're going to solely rely from this point forward on Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs to get the job done, and we'll trust them. Instead of having to sign a veteran ever again to fill the void at wide receiver two. I think it's filled. The Bills just have to trust it, let it cement and figure itself out, and rely this year. I want the Bills to run a stupid, awesome double tight end set. OJ Howard and Dawson Knox can light the hell out of people up. We just have to let them do it. And we'll talk about the tight end room at large. We're going to combine that and another talk in the future. But as far as the wide receivers go, I think that this is where we stand, right? We know what Stephon Diggs can do. And the connection he has with Josh Allen is probably the most special we've ever seen since literally Jim Kelly and Andre Reed. Like, if we thought that the Stevie Johnson and Ryan Fitzpatrick thing was special, I think this blows it out of the water. Like, what they're able to do together is absolutely phenomenal. Obviously because of Josh Allen's capabilities versus Ryan Fitzpatrick, not any knock to Stevie Johnson at all. It's just when you look at what the ceiling is for this team now, it's limitless. But we have to hope that the Bills can trust this team to gel and become a very cohesive young unit that can execute at a very high level. If you're going to tell me, though, that, oh, you know what, I don't trust them for 17 weeks before they get... Give Gabe Davis the shot, man, for 17 weeks. Stop cutting him short, lowballing him. I'm so sick of it. This talk about we need to find someone else to help at that position. Like, just let him freaking loose and see how he does this year. Who cares? All right? Who cares? If we're struggling against the division, I totally understand. Like, if Miami blows us out of the water or New England blows us out of the water because Gabe Davis can't execute, okay, then we'll worry about trying to sign someone else to help with that position. But right now, let the young man ball. We all know Jalen Ramsey, Xavier Howard, there's no J.C. Jackson, right, to worry about. In the division. We know the key matchups that are coming up is what I'm trying to talk about. Number one is definitely going to Stephon Diggs. The number two cornerback, Gabe Davis is just going to have to figure it out. He's a peacock. You got to let him fly. Okay. Got that out of my system. Gabe, if you're listening, hopefully one day I can meet with you in Sanford. Yes, I know Sanford. I love Rabbit Foot Coffee. If they're still there, I hope. It's their record company out there. The fishing out there is absolutely fantastic. I used to jam with the band, and I would literally drive over this super-duper long bridge. It was so beautiful and scenic. You're literally just going over this little area that has a combination of, like, a lake house feel with, like, Everglade vibes. It's super, super beautiful, super cool, and then have, like, this little trendy town in the center. I recommend anyone, if you're going to go to Orlando, Florida, Central Florida, go check it out. It's a neat little town. Kind of took me back and surprised me that he's kind of hunkered down there. It's pretty cool. And yeah, so if you're listening, and I hope you have a great year, Gabe. You know, I'm sitting here and I've been pounding the table for you since last year began to let the peacock fly, man. I'm sick of this limbo at this position group, just because this team wants to sign, you know, him or whatever. Like, who cares? If the Bills are going to play well, they're going to execute well, then just let them grow. Like, we're so stupid worried about a Super Bowl that we're nixing opportunities for the young guys on this team to grow. This is why I will also stand on the position of, I don't want to get rid of Singletary. We just need to have a speedy guy like James Cook get more opportunities throughout the year to open up the running game. That's it. Devin Singletary is not terrible for this team. And it's the same situation with Gabe Davis, like, and the rest of the company in there. Like, they got to get these opportunities, man. Like, if last year taught us anything, it's that signing a veteran wide receiver clearly doesn't get you over the hump. The AFC champions of last year had a rookie wide receiver and a second-year quarterback represent the AFC. Let the man do his thing and let these young guys get opportunities to make plays. You have Josh Allen, you have Stephon Diggs. Take the training wheels off this year and let's see what happens. In my opinion, this is not a Super Bowl or bust year. Do I believe the Bills can make the Super Bowl? Yes. But if history is showing us anything, it's that opportunity, right? Opportunity for players to get a chance. I'm talking about a legitimate chance, an entire year chance to figure it out. If you give them that, they will perform better and they will grow throughout the year and you have a better chance of knocking better teams off. Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes have been the Buffalo Bills' kryptonite. Some way, some freaking how, the Kansas City Chiefs go 2-0 against them and go to the Super Bowl last year. Joe Burrow coming off of a torn ACL. Jamar Chase, rookie year. Give me a break. You can't make this up. So that's literally where I stand with this wide receiver room. I think they have the capability to still be as explosive as we have seen them for several years here. And, you know, it's going to be one of those things where we're going to have to really understand that, you know, in time, we will see a cohesive unit. Nonetheless, as long as there is good communication with Ken Dorsey and company to, okay, these are the expectations. This is where we need to be by this year or this time of the year. You need to have executed this well by this point or else we can't hit our goals. Then you know, like, just bridge the gap there. And I think the Bills are going to be fine. It is a very critical, very critical position group to talk about because of the way the league is turning. But it almost feels like we're talking about the wide receivers. But now, teams are trying to run the football more effectively. Why? Because there are thinner bodies up front and at the linebacker position. Week one against the Rams. We're going to talk about more, you know, the primetime games and all that as weeks go on. But week one against the Rams is the only thing the Bills need to be thinking about right now. Not Thanksgiving, nothing. Like, Jalen Ramsey, Bobby Wagner, and Aaron Donald are going to be on the other side of the football. That's what the Bills have to be thinking about. Bills are opening up the season, baby. Amazing. Super excited. I know you guys are too. Look, if you're new to Buff Hub, I just want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for your time. I will never finish a podcast without also saying, so all the first responders and military out there, thank you for your service. Thank you for protecting our communities. I salute you every day on this podcast. And Guys, let's go Bills. Let's have a good week and stay strong out there.